Father's Day, and I have chosen a title, The Prodigal's Father, from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 23. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services reports a very disturbing statistic. It seems that over the past decades, a dramatic increase in children who live without a father in the home has occurred in America. In 1960, approximately 10 million children lived without a father in the home. Today, it's over 25 million children. More than half of those children will not see their father at all over the course of this year. Studies have shown that children who grow up without a father in their lives are significantly more likely to experience poverty, perform poorly at school, and engage in criminal activity, drug and alcohol abuse, and premarital sex. In fact, David Blackenhorn, in his book, Fatherless in America, says that girls that grow up without a father in the house are more likely to have children as teenagers. 164% more likely to have premarital birth, and 92% more likely to have failed relationships that end in divorce. These are sad statistics. And the situation is no better with boys. In James Robinson's book, My Father's Face, there is a story of a young chaplain in a prison here in Texas. They had 500 inmates. And he decided that he wanted to see something happen. He wanted to see the morale of the men lifted. He wanted them to have hope. And so Mother's Day was coming. And so he contacted a card company that produces Mother's Day cards, and he asked them, would you give me 500 cards, one for each member that's here in this prison, one for each prisoner? And they did. And so he took the cards around to each cell, and each one of the members of that prison population actually wrote a note to their mother and sent the card. All 500 cards were delivered to their mothers. And there was a wonderful lift in the morale of the prisoners. And that worked so well that the chaplain thought, well, I'll do it again on Father's Day. He asked the same card company, would you give me 500 cards for the 500 prisoners that they could do the same thing for their fathers? And so they said, certainly, and they gave them 500 cards. At the end of the time when they were supposed to send them back, not one prisoner had written a note to his father, and not one card was sent. Because each and every one of those prisoners felt that they had been abandoned by their father. Roughly 70% of the men in prison have little or no contact with their fathers. That is a difficult thing to swallow. But in the general population, even those children who have fathers in the home find that their fathers are disconnected from them in every way. The average father spends 9 minutes a week listening to their child. 9 minutes. If you want to be a good dad, remember love is spelled T-I-M-E. If you don't want your daughters falling into the arms of someone who will take advantage of them, make sure they spend a lot of time in your arms. If you don't want your sons running on their own and running away from their family and running into crime, make sure you spend a lot of time running with them everywhere they go, from the time they're a young child until they're a time when they leave home. Being a father is a difficult thing in our particular generation. It is difficult. It is difficult not because our children cry out to us, not because the children want things. It's difficult because it's hard to grow up and be a man in a society that doesn't honor it. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we ask that you will listen to our prayers, that you will hear our cries, that you will comfort us and give us strength. Let us be the fathers that you want us to be. Let us be the nurturing agents that you send into the world. Let us be those that protect and provide for the wonderful children that you have given us. May we see in the example that you have given to us what a true father should be. And may we strive to be that kind of man by the power that you give us to succeed, because your Spirit lives within us. And we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Amen. Let us look now at Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 23. You're probably familiar with this story. It says, "Then a man said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he did so. He provided it to them, his livelihood." Now notice that it doesn't say that he provided just to the one young son. Many people do not read the Scripture. He provided for both sons. He says he gave them the portion. Now in their culture, the eldest son always got two-thirds of the man's possessions. The rest of the children would divide one-third amongst them. So, in this case, there were only two boys, so the eldest son received two-thirds of the inheritance, and the younger son received one-third. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, his one-third, and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a great famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this was my son, who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at my time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found.'" Now in this wonderful scripture, we find a biblical description of an ideal father. Probably none of us measures up to the ideal fatherhood that this man displays before us. But we have a great description of what a good father is. Father is spelled F-A-T-H-E-R, so we're going to start with the F in verse 22 through 24. But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son, was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. F is for forgiveness. If a father has no forgiveness in his heart, he cannot be a good father. This father celebrated his wayward son's return. Our children need to experience unconditional love. There are several things in our psyche that we have to have. God created us that way. We have a spirit, that's the inner man. We have a soul, that's our emotions and thoughts. And we have our physical body. In order to be complete, we have to be at one spirit, soul, and body. And one of the things that drives our emotions and is the most difficult thing for children to understand is that they belong. When they don't belong to a family, when a family is fractured, when the father leaves the home and leaves the kids behind, what do the kids look for? They look for other kids, for gangs, for associations, because they're so desperate to belong. To belong somewhere with somebody. Saddest thing I see after school when kids walk home is these little clusters of kids dressed more or less the same. They have one thing in common, and that is that they need each other. They need to belong. When we invite someone into the church, they need to know that we want them here, that they belong here. God calls them because they belong to Him. The ultimate sense of belonging is when you come to Christ because you feel that sense of family, that you are part of the family of God. If a father doesn't offer that, if he doesn't offer this sense of forgiveness that allows a child to understand that no matter what they do, they still belong to that family. No matter how far they stray, they still belong to that family. If we don't forgive, then we rob them of that sense of belonging. And so the F stands for forgiveness. Verse 20, he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. A stands for available. Not for 9 minutes a week, but available. That's the challenge we face in our busy lives, to give our children more of our time, more of ourselves. They need to know that love is in us for them. There's a little 8-year-old in school who had a school assignment about love, and this is what he said. "Love is when Daddy plays with me, comes to my games, or reads me a bedtime story." We have to be available for our kids. And that falls into the second thing that's the most important things to our souls. To know that we belong and to know that we're worth it. That someone gives us worth. Many kids run away from their parents and they never feel a sense of worth. Jesus paid it all for you. You're worth everything to Him. Do you understand the love of God that's poured out upon you? You are of great worth. He was willing to send His only begotten Son into this world that you might have life and have it abundantly with Him. To be worthless, to be told that you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, you're not worth anything. To hear those words, they're devastating. And when fathers say to their kids, "Well, you've disappointed me. You're not worthy of my time. I don't spend any time with you. Because your grades aren't good enough, or because you didn't play baseball well enough, or because you didn't do something well enough. You never measured up. You weren't worth my time." It devastates them. It leaves them hollow. They grow up without a sense of their self-worth, and it robs them of the joy of life. And so a father must be forgiving, and he must be available. Available to pour out his life for his children. Those are two of the things that are very important, but the third is really important as well. In verse 31 and 32, he's talking to his son. He says to the son, "You've always been with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." For a father, teaching is a major component of being a good father. F-A-T, teaching. Teaching the child, understanding their issues. You see, this father, he understood the elder son's issues, but he wanted to teach him about true love. We should never let teachable moments pass, because teachable moments train up a child in the way he should go. And the Bible promises that if we do that, in his old age, he'll return to it. Why? Because it makes that child feel capable. A child needs to feel that he belongs. A child needs to know he belongs. He needs to know that he's worth, that she's worth something special. You want your child to give herself for nothing? Then just make her feel worthless. You want your son to run and try to find his worth in gangs? Then just make him feel worthless. But if you want your child to, or daughter to succeed, you have to let them know that they can. That they can. That they can. You have to say to this child, "Listen, you can do this." You have to be positive about the things that you do to enable that child to be the best they can be. To encourage them to be the best they can be. You don't have to have an education to be the best that you can be. This society tells our kids all the wrong things. It tells you have to be rich. You have to be powerful. You have to be well educated. No, you can sweep a street, and if that's the best you can be and you do it to the glory of God, then it is the most wonderful thing you were ever called to do. Each of us needs to give worth to our children and make them feel like they can, because the Scripture says they can. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. There's nothing I can't do. There is no obstacle I cannot overcome. Those are the things that we need to understand if we're going to be fathers. F-A-T-H, verse 17. "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?'" Having H, having honesty, integrity. Our children need to have fathers to be role models, to show a child what is important, and to display character traits that they should imitate. What are these things that we give them? When we come into a house, if we've been at a McDonald's and we gave the person a $5 bill and they gave us the food and $20 and change, if we go back to our house and say, "Oh wow, this was a great day. I gave the person $5 and they gave me the food and they gave me $20 and change." What does that teach a child? Does that teach him that you're honest? That you have integrity? No. That teaches a child another way to go. Not God's way. And so we need to teach by example. It is part of our legacy. It is part of what we give to our children. The prodigal son comes to his father and he asks for his inheritance. What do our children really inherit from us fathers? Is it our money? You know, I was a prodigal about my father's money. When my father died, I have nothing left of the money that I received. The money was nothing. But what I have from my father are the moments that he gave me, the times that he loved me, the times that he opened up to me. My inheritance from my mother is the same. Nothing of physical power, nothing of that, but the things they taught me about how to live. And my mother taking me to church every Sunday and teaching me about God from her very knee. That's what's important. To show our children that we are honest in our faith and that we hand to them an inheritance, a legacy of the life we lived. When you die and leave this world, what will you leave behind? Will you leave behind money or will or some sort of material thing? Or will you leave behind for your children something they can take into a far country and thrive? Will you leave them the character of Christ? A father needs to be honest and give honestly of himself. F-A-T-H-E in verse 20. And he rose and came to his father, but when his father was a great deal off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. E stands for expressing your love and your affection. Men are usually pretty bad at this. We don't grab our kids and hug them. We tend to stand off. We don't tend to touch our children. We don't tend to open up our emotions. That's what our wives do. Don't just sit there. Say amen. We are the ones that need to open up and show that what it really means to be a man is to be manly enough to open up our hearts and express our love and affection for our children. A child that misses that misses a sense of worth. Misses a sense of he's worth something. There's always a distance between the child and the father. The father is distant because he won't open up. He won't embrace. He won't give of himself. A father needs to do that, and this father does. He hugs and kisses his child. He demonstrates openness and has the courage to love openly. F-A-T-H-E-R. Verse 12. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. And again in verse 31. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. R stands for respect. You have to respect your children's wishes. He allows his son to fail in order to learn. There's a modern day story that has a lot of that in it. It's called The Pursuit of Happiness. In it, a young black man has a son and his wife runs off and leaves them by themselves. And the man wants to be a father, wants to be a man for his son. He wants to try to make sure that that son does feel that he belongs and that son does feel his worth, and that son does know that they're capable of doing great things. And so he gives them that, even though they have to sleep sometimes in homeless shelters, even though they have to sometimes sleep on the street, he never gives up his honesty, his integrity. He shows his child. This was such a remarkable true story that Will Smith was asked to play the role in the movie. A man who struggled mightily for his son and took lowly jobs in order to provide, but who rises up at the end of the movie and becomes a very wealthy millionaire by becoming a stockbroker. They made a movie of it. They made a story of it that sold millions of copies. Why? Because it is so rare. Because people show so little commitment. They run from their commitment. They run from their children. They run from any time the going gets rough, they get going. Father has to be able to stand and fight because he respects his children. His children may not always be right. His children may make bad decisions, but he respects their right to make them. I have children that do all kinds of things. I've always tried to respect my children's decisions. I have a youngest son who called me from college one day and said, Dad, you always told me that if I loved what I did, I'd never work a day in my life. I said, that's right. He said, now I won't do this unless you say it's okay. But I'd like to quit college. I'd like to go out and be an Audi technician. I said, son, you don't even know how to change oil in a car. He said, oh, I've got this great opportunity to go to Audi school. And I said, okay, quit college. Go. Do it. Be the best you can at it. And he became a certified Audi technician. He called me up one day and said, Dad, I'm tired of fixing rich people's toys. I said, you know where the college is? He said, yes. I said, go there. About 6 months later, he called me again. He said, Dad, you remember that if I will only do this if you tell me it's okay. But you know this band that I've been playing in? I said, no, I know nothing about the band you've been playing in. He said, well, I've been playing lead guitar. I said, have you really? He said, yes, and we just signed a record deal with Sony Records, and we're going to be on tour for the next 6 months if you'll let me go. He said, I think I can get it out of my system. I said, well, go ahead. And he dropped out of school again. And for 6 months, he went to Las Vegas, and he went to New York, and he went all over the place on these tours, and he played all these places, and my heart was just ripping out of my body. He called me up and said, Dad, I got it out of my system. I said, praise God. You know where the college is? He's back there in college. But I did respect his positions. I gave him a chance to fail. It didn't matter to me if he graduated in 4 years or 5 years or 6 years. That didn't make any difference to me. I wanted that young man to know that I trusted him. And he knows it. Every one of us has to be respectful of our children. That's the F-A-T-H-E-R of fatherhood. Our children take us as role models. And sometimes we have failed them. We don't show them what it really means to be a Christian. We don't model Christ in front of them. But that's our calling. We live in a hard world. We live where it's very hard for real men to stand up for their children. There was a book written, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. It was written in 1787. The author was Edward G. Bison. He lists 5 reasons why Rome fell. I want you to listen to these 5 reasons because they're the same exact circumstances that we face today. Reason number 1, there was a rapid increase in divorce, undermining the family and the basic building blocks of society. Today, over 50% of the marriages will end in divorce in churches. Let me repeat that. 50% of the people who are in church will get a divorce while attending church. Number 2, higher and higher taxes, spending the public money for free bread and entertainment for the populace. Sounds familiar. 3, the mad craze for pleasure, seeking pleasure everywhere you can. The Epicurean philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. The sense of just running out and going for the gusto. It's all about me and how I feel. Does that sound like our society? Sports becoming more and more violent. They would go to watch the gladiators, and they were not happy until they saw greater and greater amounts of violence. And the more violence they saw, the more violence they needed. And that was provided by the higher taxes that they were taking. When people are turned one against the other, and the mad craze for pleasure. And I think we see that in our society. 4th was they built great armaments, but the real enemy was on the inside. The real enemy was a decadent people. Have we done that? We can destroy the world many times over, but we can't walk down many of the streets of America in safety. What have we done? We export our pollution. I'm talking about pornography and all the other R-rated and other films that we send to the rest of the world. No wonder they call us the great Satan. What do they see from us? Fathers have a choice. They can make a difference. They can stand up. And the fifth reason of the decline of the Roman Empire was the decline in religion. Faith had become just something without any substance. It was all form. Let's just all come down and do the same kind of signs and do the same kind of, we give a little sacrifice here and it makes smoke or whatever. But we did not know the one that built the faith. Jesus is the one that builds the faith. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not anyone else. But Christ Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith. And when we lose our faith in Him, we might as well shut up all the doors of the churches. Five things that brought down the mighty Roman Empire that are bringing down the American Empire today. One of our greatest generals was General Douglas MacArthur. He said this. He said, "By profession, I am a soldier, and I take pride in that. But I am prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father. A soldier destroys. A father builds. The one has the potential of death. The other embodies creation and life. It is my hope when I am gone that my son will remember not my accomplishments, but repeating our daily prayers together." We have lost that. We need to stand up in America for the things that our fathers' fathers believed. We need to stand up and fight for our children. I will not just sit back and be a commentator and tell you that it is a terrible thing that's happening in our schools and that kids are being stabbed in the halls and that they're doing all kinds of things that we don't want our children involved in. No! Let us stand up and make a difference. We can. We can start with our own voice in our own family. But we can make that voice count. And fathers have to stand up and fight. They can't just slink back into the shadows and let their family drift into the abyss. Fathers have to be willing to fight for their children. There was never a time when we needed to fight more because our children are being taken from us. Our children are being dragged through experiences that even as young adults we didn't go through. We need to fight for our children. Are you that kind of parent? Are you defending the faith by living it? We can talk a good fight. Are you living the faith? Are you demonstrating to your children that God is more important than anything else on this earth? Are you living the faith? Are you showing your children they belong to you? You know, in the bar mitzvah, that was when a child in the Jewish faith, normally at 13 for a boy, there's a place there in Jerusalem where we're going in October again called the Wailing Wall. It's the last portion of a retaining wall that was with the temple. And the Jews have considered that a holy site for a long time, the Western Wall. And they'll have a bar mitzvah there quite often. And what will happen is that the man, no matter how small he is, no matter how weak he is, will put his young boy on his shoulders. And he will stand. And he will walk under the weight of his son. And as he walks, he says, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." You might remember those words. Those are the words that Jesus heard from the sky, from the Heavenly Father, when He rose from His baptism. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Have you told your daughter, "This is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Have you told them that they belong, that they're worthy, that they're capable of anything that their imaginations can conceive? Have you told them how special they are and how much you love them? Have you shared that with them? That is what mothers and fathers are called to do. To love with a love that only God can put in your heart. I don't blame the rest of the world for raising children who do not have these things. They're not capable. They do not have God inside them. But I do blame people who say they're Christians for not doing it, because they are leaving behind a legacy of destruction. Father's Day is a grand time. We actually don't even have evening service in the Anglo side, because we give all of these fathers a chance to go be with their children and their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. It's a time to treasure what God has given us, to remember how important it is to love what God has given us. I wonder if you guys would do something for me right this minute. Fathers who are here, would you turn to your children and say, "You're my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased"? Would you do that? Would you do it? Would you say it out loud? Do you mean it? You know what that means to a child? To have you publicly tell them that? You know how much healing takes place when they're told that? Something we should say all the time. Today, if you do not have Christ in your life, you cannot be an ideal father. You just don't have the capacity. You don't have the love of Christ in you. There's no greater thing you could do for your child than to come down the aisle and accept Jesus as your Savior. There's nothing better that you could do than to come down the aisle and say, "I'm not the father I should be, or not the father I should have been, but I want to rededicate myself to be the kind of dad or grandfather that I need to be now." Those are the things. And for children, there's no greater thing that you can say to your parent than, "I want to walk the aisle and accept the faith that they have shown me and lived." And so we're going to give an invitation. An invitation to life. An invitation to the family of God. Would you bow with me in prayer? Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we know that you answer every question in our life. You are the one that makes us understand that we belong. We belong to you. Father, there may be someone here who does not know that feeling because they have never had you come within their life and teach them how loving and forgiving you are. And they need it today. They need to know that they belong to you. It may be a young man, it may be a young woman, it may be an older man or an older woman, but there may be someone here at this very moment that needs to give their life to you so that you can give them the life that only you have to give. There may be someone here, Father, who says, "You know, I haven't been respectful of my mother and my father. I haven't responded as I should to them. I have not honored my mother and father. And I need to make that right. And I need a second chance. And I need a new beginning. And I need to walk the aisle and say, I'll be a better son or daughter than I've ever been. I'll be more aware of the sacrifice my parent makes." There may be a parent here who knows that they have not been the right kind of mother or father. They want a second chance. They want your help, Father. They want you to forgive their sins and enable them to be the man or woman you want them to be. Father, there may be someone here who has a burden on their life. I don't know what that burden may be, but Father, you know every heart that's here. You know every person that's here. You have known them while they were yet in their mother's womb, and you know them now. Father, for whatever purpose, I know that your invitation is open to all. For like the father in the story, your arms are open wide. And you're looking for us when we are far off, ready to receive us with joy and kisses, ready to put a ring on our finger and a robe on our back and sandals on our feet, ready to sacrifice your own Son that we may celebrate together throughout eternity. Father, if there's anyone that needs to respond today, needs to come and pray for whatever purpose, we pray that they will be responsive today. For you are our Heavenly Father. You are the one who does make us feel like we belong. You are the one that does make us know that we are worth everything. And you are the one that has told us time and time again that we can do all things. Father, we love you and we cherish our relationship with you. Now may those who have not that relationship enter into it right now. May they come as the invitation is given. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.